Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1, the title of this message, God's Answer to Our Fears. God's Answer to Our Fears. The command to fear not, or some variation of these words, is the most often repeated command in the Bible. Why is it that we need to be told over and over not to fear? And I've wondered about this because we have so many wonderful promises in the Word of God. I mean, you know, there's, I think, over 3,000 wonderful, amazing promises in the Word of God. And yet still, we need to be told not to fear. I believe one of the reasons is because fear really is in the opposite direction of faith. Fear is in the opposite direction of faith. And you know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I think that to some extent, there is a spiritual battle that is taking place that takes us down that path of fear as opposed to faith. I experienced it just this past, I guess it was about a week ago yesterday, that we had the service for Delene's father. And they had asked me to do the service. Now, I've been very close to her father for, you know, we've been married for over 40 years, and it's a close family. And so when they asked me to do the service, you know, I thought about all the family that would be there. And what made it even a little bit more difficult was some of the family members were saying, well, we'd like to get up and share, but the wife, Delene's mother, said, no, I want JD to do the whole service. And it was like, okay, no pressure here. And so, you know, and on top of that, I was afraid that I was going to have like, well, you know how I can be emotional sometimes. And so I was afraid, well, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to have this emotional breakdown, and, you know, and I'm going to look like a real, you know, it was just this fear that grips the heart. And it reminded me the first time that I was ever asked to speak, you know, way, way, way back, you know, when we were in our 20s, and just struggling with that, you know, that fear that gripped the heart, that was so much so that I was on my face before God and just like, Lord, if there's any way that this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Well, obviously we know what his will is now, but there was that, just that sense of fear. And so when I look at a passage like this, I can really relate to some extent. And I think that most of us can. Because most of us have experienced something, some situation, some circumstance in our life that has brought about a sense of fear. And so this morning we're looking at this man. I believe he struggled with fear later in life, not necessarily early in life, but his name is Joshua. He's one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. What you will notice is that God, you'll know this already, God often chooses people who struggle with fear to accomplish his most challenging plans. Think Moses leading the children of Israel. You know, God, I can't speak. Lord, choose somebody else. Get somebody, you know, but don't use me. I can't even talk. And then, of course, think David, who was anointed as king of Israel. But David, in fear, you remember when he was captured by the Philistines, how he feigned madness, you know, and, you know, saliva running down his beard. And I think, well, thankfully, you know, I have not experienced that. But think Elijah as the prophet who spoke out against Ahab and Jezebel, you know, and how he ran in fear of this threat of Jezebel. And then I think in the New Testament, what about Peter? Peter was the one who seemed so confident that he was like, Lord, though everyone else should leave you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And what happened? Peter fell. He denied Jesus and he ran away in fear. And you would think that God would choose those who had the greatest confidence or maybe the most experienced in leadership or, you know, to take on the big stuff. But I'm reminded of the passage that says that God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now, how many of you will admit and say, I'm one of the foolish things? All right, we don't like to raise our hands to that, do we? But you know what? If God's using you, you qualify. You're one of the foolish things of this world that God uses to confound the wise. And so Joshua, he's faced with this amazing challenge. I believe that many of the works that God has for us, they are going to challenge us. God's going to do something in your life that takes you somewhat out of your comfort zone. And you know that we all like to live and we like to work and we like to be in our comfort zone. And so when God takes you out of that in some way, and he requires of you or he asks you to do something that goes beyond your natural abilities, that is usually where fear enters in. One of the problems that God deals with in our lives is this problem of fear, because I'll tell you, fear is what can keep us from going forward with the plan of God. Specifically, God had chosen Joshua to be the man that would lead the children of Israel following the death of Moses. Now, Joshua had grown up in Egypt. He was just a young man when God sent Moses back to Egypt to free his people after 400 years of captivity. So he had witnessed all the struggles that Moses endured as the nation's first great leader. And aside from the supernatural empowerment to do the job, leading the children of Israel would be an impossible task for one man. And that job required great faith and a complete reliance upon God. And so as we discover here, really that is the theme of Joshua chapter 1. It's a reliance upon God. And that is the key to following without fear, is that I must rely completely upon God. I think in a single word, the word is trust. Now that, by the way, is the answer. That is God's answer. We could end the service right here. I could stop and just say, you know what? Trust God. Because that really, in all the simplicity of the scriptures, that's really what it boils down to. Am I trusting God? Now, admittedly, when I was going to do that service, I was not trusting the Lord. If I were trusting God, I would not have been shaking in my shoes going, man, can I do this? I would have been thinking, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I would have fallen back on one of those great and wonderful promises of God. But you know, like Joshua, like David, like Moses, like so many others, I found myself in fear. And maybe you are too, at something. I think sometimes we have a fear of the plan of God. I was reading about the different phobias. They didn't have one for fear of the plan of God. But I do remember growing up fearing the plan of God. I remember thinking God's going to ask me to do things that I don't want to do. I can remember thinking that, you know, I'm going to be sent somewhere if I completely surrender my life to the Lord and I'm going to hate it. And I had these fears. And maybe that's planophobia, God's planophobia. I don't know. But I tell you, there's another fear that I've always had, and it's one of the very simple fears. It's when I'm out and I'm buying something and I'm shopping and I see a box that says assembly required. Now, I got to tell you, right then and right there, when I see assembly required, I realize I have assembly-a-phobia because I become very spastic when you put a tool in my hand. And so I have struggled when the kids were growing up, you know, and there was something that had to be put together. It always took me 5 or 6 times longer than it would take a normal person. And so I have that sense of fear. And I think that when it comes to the things of the Lord, sometimes it's, well, God, I can't do this. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. The question is, can this fear, can it be overcome? Well, I would say not only can it be overcome, that we are commanded by the Word of God to overcome the fears that we have. It's a command. And so Joshua was a man who had overcome fear. And so we look together at several points in this chapter. I call them fear factors. In fact, there's four of them that we're going to look at. Number one, that first fear factor that I'd like for us to consider is that God will enable you to succeed even where others have failed. Sometimes God will instruct us to do something, maybe a job someone else really has already failed about. That was actually the case here with Joshua. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. It says that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now let's go back. Let's rewind. Because 40 years earlier, we have the same basic scene. The people, they're encamped near the land of Canaan. They're ready to cross over. They're ready to take the land. God has promised this land to the children of Israel. And now it is time to go and to take possession. So God commands Moses to send out these spies into Canaan, and for 40 days, these 10 spies, they're checking it out. They come back and they say, well, you know, Moses, there's some good news and there's some bad news here. Well, if you're like me, you always want to hear the good news first. Well, they came back and they said, you know, there is this fruit like you wouldn't believe. There's clusters of grapes so large that it would take two men to carry, and the land is flowing with milk and honey, and of course that's the good news. Well, then what is the bad news? Well, there are some very strong, big people living there. You know, we saw the descendants of Anak. You say, well, who's Anak? Well, Anak, that's the name Anak would send cold chills down the spine of the children of Israel, because that word Anak, it means giant. And Anak was the father of a race of giants called the Anakim. And so they were literally the terror of the land. They were the terrorists of those days, except they were not of normal height. They were like way up there. These guys were giants. They were huge. And so the people, they were struck with terror, and they refused to go into the land, and they complained against Moses and Aaron, and they were so angry that they rose up to stone Moses and Aaron, according to Numbers 13. Now, if you remember, it was Joshua, he was one of the ones who came back and said, we can do it. God, we can do this. We can take this. And so my question is, why, when Joshua was young, why did he not seem to fear? Then he got older. What happened? I don't know, but I was reminded of why, and to some extent, when I was driving in today, and somebody, you know, have these little guys on these motorcycles, they zoom by you going about 120 miles an hour, and they go, zzz, you know, and you're like, it scares you. And then you see them pop a wheelie as they're going down the freeway. And, you know, I mean, they're not my age doing that, because if they were my age, they would have thought, I got that out of me, you know, when I was a young guy. But, you know, the closest thing I ever had to that, I think, was maybe some horses that were popping wheelies while I was riding them. But, I mean, you know, I just look and I go, what is it? And I think to some extent, just the way we're biologically made, there's a sense of youthful exuberance. How many of you still have youthful exuberance to do some things that are just crazy? Okay, all right, we've got some. And you know what? The two people that raise their hand, they're both youthful. That is youthful exuberance. And it is truthful that when we're young, we take these chances and we take these risks, and it's like it's excitement and it's adventure and we want to do it. And as we get older, it's the same things that make our nightmares real. Why did I ever do that? That was crazy. That was so stupid. Thank God I'm still alive. And there's just some things like that in our life. And I look at Joshua and I say, Joshua, he came back, he was one of the spies, and he had that youthful exuberance, and he's like, hey man, we can take him. Let's go for it. But here he is, he's older now, it's been over 40 years, and now it's like, God, would you find somebody else to do this? Is there somebody else that can take this on? I'm not sure that he had that attitude, but there must be a reason why God came back to him and said, you know, don't fear. Don't worry about it. Be strong and of good courage. I believe that fear of failure, I think, is one of the greatest barriers to accomplishing God's plan. We feel that we can't do it, that we're going to fail, and then people are going to ask us, or they're going to think, you know, what a loser. They're going to think, well, he did obviously didn't hear from the plan of God. He failed. And we would rather shun the challenge than accept the possibility of wearing that, you know, the big loser label. And so we fear. Well, the key to overcoming fear is to believe that the plan of God, now this is important, the fear that we experience, and the key to overcoming that is to believe that if we are in the plan of God, we cannot fail. If you are following through on the plan of God, you cannot fail as long as you follow the Lord. As long as you're following his plan, as long as you are trusting and relying upon him, it doesn't matter what it is in life, what God has given you to do. If you're following the plan of God, you cannot fail. Let me give you the flip side of that. This morning I was praying. I was like, Lord, you know, I like to go right to the Psalms, and it's kind of like, Lord, help me to, you know, during this message and the sermon, I just want to know that I'm doing what you want me to do. And so I'm in the Psalms, and the last verse of the particular Psalm that I was reading is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And I thought about that. And I thought, now, if that is true, then what our fear should be is if we are doing something that is outside of the plan of God. Because if God has a plan and you're not in that plan, you have some reason to fear. You're on your own. You have forsaken the plan of God. You're out there on your own. And I'll tell you, in life, that is the worst place you can ever be, is outside of the plan of God. You want to know, you want to believe, and you want to be sure that you are following God's plan. And when you are, you can walk through whatever that plan is without fear, because it is the plan of God. Now, you may not understand the plan. God doesn't require that you understand, but he does ask that you fearlessly follow through with whatever he gives you to do. Now, in spite of the fact that Israel had previously failed in the plan of God, God was saying to Joshua, you know, you're my man for this job. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So, that is number one. Know that you're in the plan of God. Number two, the second fear factor is that God always keeps his promises. Now, verse 3, if you look at that, that's a promise. Verse 3, and every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Let's read that again. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread. In other words, every step you take, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Here God is assuring Joshua that God will act according to his promises. Now, this wasn't only a promise to Joshua. God had actually made this promise hundreds of years earlier, way back in Genesis chapter 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." And so the promise has been carried forward by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And now God again reminding Joshua of the promise and says, you know, this is a promise I've already given. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you as I have said to Moses. Now Moses failed to follow through. And now it's Joshua. And so I believe, it's just my thought, that the Christian should be the most fearless person on earth. We should not fear because we do have all of these promises of God. There are people that are just, as believers, they are afraid of so many things. And I wonder, what is it that you're doing with the promises of God? Because of all these promises, we do not need to fear. You know, one of the great inspiring hymns, and to be honest, when I was growing up, I didn't like it. It's because it seems like we sang it almost every Sunday in church. And maybe there's some songs I do that you don't like for that same reason. But, you know, it's just like standing on the promises. It was like, standing on the promises of Christ, my King. And man, we did that song all the time. And it was like, you know, I'm tired of this song. But looking back, I love that hymn. Looking back on the words and the meaning and the expressions of faith in that hymn. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring, glory in the highest. I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. It's the second stanza that I really love. Standing on the promises, what does it say? That cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. We cannot fail when we stand on his promises. It makes no sense for the Christian to walk through life with head down because the word of God is a living word. The word of God is alive with promises that should always bring hope and courage to the one who believes and trusts. Standing on the promises of God. I do believe that our problem, and this is why we still walk in fear, is simply this. We do not appropriate the promises of God personally in our life. We've read about them. We've studied them. We've gone to countless Bible studies and church services. We've heard these promises, some of them, for all of our life. But then when it comes right down to it, we fail to stand and appropriate them in our lives. The result is fear. The result is discouragement. The result is the same result that we've seen so many in the scriptures go through. Moses, Joshua, what about Jonah? Have you ever felt like jumping ship on God's plan? That's not a good thing to do. Don't jump ship. That's the worst thing we can do. Stay with the plan of God. Stand on the promises of God. Number three, this third factor, this fear factor that I want you to consider is that God will never leave us. Now, I call these fear factors because these are the things that we need in order to factor into the whole thing that will dissipate the fear. For some people, their greatest fear is being left alone. Anyone here have that fear of being left alone? And so one of the great blessings of knowing Jesus Christ is that, you know, the Word of God assures us that we are never alone. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. It's like the song that we were saying, he is the friend that stays closer than the brother. And so that's where they get that friend from. But we're even more than that. We're closer. Look with me at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And what does it say? I will not leave you nor forsake you. I want us to do something we don't often do, but we're just going to repeat that in unison because we need to say it. We need to hear ourselves say this and to believe. Let's say it together. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that about God? Do you believe that God loves you so much that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and that you are so precious to him? God is now reminding Joshua that as he was with Moses, just as he was with Moses, so God is with Joshua. And you and I, we can look at a passage such as this, and we can say, well, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. I realize that they are big names in the Word of God, but yet God has still said, I do not respect one person over another. We honor these prophets of God, these men that God used, but God will use you, God will use me, and the same promises apply. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And so God is now reminding Joshua that as he was with Moses, just as he was with Moses, so he is with Joshua. Now the problem is, and here's why there are many fearful Christians, another reason is because though they know about God, they have never trusted God in the way God intends for you to trust him. There may be an intellectual trust. It's the trust that says, well, you know, he is God. I recognize he did create everything. I know that, you know, God can do all things. But are you trusting him as Father? That's the real issue. Do you understand that God is the perfect Father? He is the one that loves you as a perfect Father. He goes even beyond. His love is infinite. His love is beyond our understanding. We cannot fathom the depths of the love of God. And so Paul writing, he said, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who, what? Loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice it says that which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because that is the great demonstration. You want proof that God really loves you that much? I'll tell you, he didn't have to send Jesus. He did not have to send his son. He did not have to take that path. But he loved you so much that he died and he shed the blood and he went through unfathomable pain. Because he loves you. And so we have that confidence that God is as Father loves us, and that's how we want to think of him. Fatherly love, the perfect love of the Father. This fourth fear factor that I'd like for you to consider is simply this, that God has actually commanded us to trust. That's a command. So verse 6, it now begins with this command. If you look at it, it says, be strong and of good courage. Again, the command is repeated in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, Have I not commanded you? Have I not told you? Isn't it interesting that we have to be commanded and we have to be told? It's not based upon our emotion. We don't walk into things emotionally, well, you know, I trust God today. Oh, tomorrow I don't trust God. I mean, these emotions are like waves. But the command is a constant. God is always commanding us to trust him. And so that is the commandment. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. That's a command. Do not be dismayed. That is a command. And here's the reason. It says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you realize that wherever you go, the Lord your God, he is with you? He is personally aware of you. He's thinking of you. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. He's giving you wisdom. He's giving you strength. He's encouraging you. And he's personally with you wherever you go. What does this mean to you and I? Well, let's just sum it up. First of all, the command to be strong. There's the command, do not be afraid. There's the assurance, I am with you wherever you go. Trust. What does it mean to trust God? Well, it just simply means that you are placing your confidence in the Lord. What are you going through today? What is it that, you know, what is it going on in life that just causes you to have fear? There's a lot of things. Sometimes our fear is in, you know, health-related issues. We went through so much of that with the family over the past month. So much fear. And we're constantly sending scriptures, assurance, the promises. Sometimes it's financial related. We fear and we wonder and we, you know, how's God going to meet this need? We had so, Delene and I, just so many of those as we were, you know, early in our marriage and even later. God, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to pay this? Those financial fears. Sometimes it is the fear of the job that we have been given to do. Can I do this job? Can I do it well? But to believe God, to trust God, just means that we're going to put our confidence in God. It means that I believe God. It means that I personally, I'm convinced that God cannot fail in his plan. Are you in the plan of God? Well, if you're in that plan, fear not. For he is with you. To be quite honest, I know I've gone through some times in life, and I think most of us have, where I wasn't in the plan of God. Here's what I've discovered. Even when I'm not in the plan of God, you know what? He's still there with me. He doesn't leave me just because I walk out of the plan. Now, I might face some consequences. But when he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, it just simply means that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And the word of God says that even when we are faithless, what does it say? Still, he remains faithful. And so do not condemn yourself. If you find yourself right now in a place where you feel like you're out of the plan of God, he's still there with you. But I'll tell you, he's the good shepherd that wants to bring you back, to draw you back into that wonderful plan that he has for you. I've discovered sometimes that I can know when I'm not in the plan of God. Here's some cues right here. I'll give you three of them. Number one is peace. Do I have peace in my present circumstances or am I worried? Am I all uptight? Well, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. And why is it? Because he trusts in you. Trusting in God is one of the keys to peace. What about fear? Am I afraid? If I am afraid, then I am not trusting God. Psalm 56:11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? When you are placing your trust in God, you may go through some momentary fears and you may struggle with it, but you won't stay there because you're trusting in God. What about stability? Am I stable even during unstable circumstances? If I could name one thing that I could summarize over this past month and a half, the word is instability. There is so much instability when a loved one is, you know, you don't know whether they're going to make it. You don't know whether they're going to come out of this. You don't know whether therapy is going to work. You don't know whether the whole thing that they do is going to work. And it leaves you with this sense of instability. And God does not want us to be there. He says, I want you to be stable. And so those who trust in the Lord, again, the word trust, Psalm 125, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. In other words, trusting in God is a source of absolute stability, regardless of what you are going through. Those three things: peace, fear, stability. That's a great test for us. Are we truly trusting in the Lord? And so the blessings of trust: presence of peace, absence of fear, stable in unstable circumstances. God will enable us to succeed even where others have failed. God always keeps his promises. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And God commands us simply to trust in him. Now I can end the sermon, because we've heard it. What's the one word you come away with in this message? If you're listening and you're paying attention, what is the one word? What, if you could summarize the whole thing, what is God's answer to our fears? Trust. We cannot escape it. It is simply, we must trust the Lord. And so, Father in heaven, we thank you for the word to us today, Lord, because if we're not dealing with something today, we could be dealing with it tomorrow, Lord, where there could be fear or insecurity or anxiety. And yet you have commanded us. You've commanded us to be strong and of good courage. And so, Lord, I'm praying for those who are here today, Lord, that are struggling or may be struggling in the near future with some issue. Lord, that we could lay aside our fears and our instability and just simply trust. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.